Today, we've been doing a few weeks of Agadah of stories. We're going to return today to halacha. It's a halacha that we alluded to very early on in our series on Masechet Brachot, but we never really studied it in depth. And it's the main Gemara begins where I put the arrow about in the middle of the page, a few lines up from where the lines get wide in the Gemara. Okay. So the first thing that the Gemara does is it quotes a brisa, which it quoted earlier. I underlined the full brisa up on top. The brisa says, the Tanya, a brisa is a Tanaitic teaching. The Tanaim taught, Chachamim asu siyag ledivrehem. And now the underlined portion up on top. Chachamim asu siyag ledivrehem. The rabbis made a fence for their own rule, for their own words. Kedei shelo yehe adam ba min asadeh ba'erev. Ve'omer, eilech leviti, ve'ochal kima, ve'shte kima, ve'ishan kima, ve'achar kach ekra kriyat shma ve'yetpalel. Lest someone go home from his work in the field, and he'll say, eilech leviti, I'll go home. Vochal kima, I'll eat a little bit. Veshte kima, and I'll drink a little bit. Veishan kima, and I'll sleep a little bit. Vachar kach ikra kriyat shma v'tpal. And then after I take my nap, then I'll say shma, and I'll daven ma'ariv. V'nimtza, v'chotfo shena, and his sleep, takes him. V'nimtza yashen kol alayla. And it turns out that he'll sleep all night. So that's a bad situation, where you go home and you eat, you drink, and you sleep, you want to take a nap, and then you say, I'll daven ma'ariv later. So the rabbis wanted to make sure that didn't happen to us. So what did they do? Aval adam ba min asadeh ba'erev. However, so when a person comes home from the field in the evening, nichnas lebeit ha'kneset, he should go to shul. Im ragil ekrot korev, im ragil shanot shoneh. If he's used to reading from the Torah, he should read from the Torah. And if he's used to learning Talmud, he should learn Talmud or learn Halacha. Either way, the korek kriyat shema mitpalel, then he should read Shema and daven ma'ariv, ve'ochel pitoo mevarech, and so on and so forth. And he could eat his bread, he could eat his dinner and say the brachos, and then go to sleep. The point being that this brisa, the main teaching of this brisa, is that one is not supposed to eat at night before, after getting home, before davening ma'ariv. There are exceptions to that, but that's not our topic. The funny thing is that that's the main topic of the brisa, but the Gemara infers something from the order in which the brisa presents one's events in the evening. The brisa presents one's events in the evening as first reading Shema and then davening Ma'ariv. Which means that Shema has to come before Shemona Esrei at Ma'ariv. We know that that's what we do, right? When we daven Ma'ariv, first we say Shema and then we say Shemona Esrei. But that was not a simple thing. That was in fact the subject of a debate. And that debate is presented here where the arrow is. Amar mar is the phrase the Gemara uses to refer back to something in the Brisa, and then it's going to go off on a tangent about that issue in the Brisa. Kore kriyat shema mitpalel. First he reads shema, and then he davens. That fact in the Brisa, misayel le Rabbi Yochanan. That fact in the Brisa is in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. What's the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan? De Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said, Ezehu ben Olam Haba. Rabbi Yochanan said, who certainly merits the world to come? Ze hasomech ke'ula l'tfila shel arvit. One who attaches ge'ula t'tfila at Ma'ariv. Ge'ula is the bracha of Ga'al Yisrael that we say before we daven Shemona Esrei. So in the morning, we know that bracha, right? Baruch Ata Yetzur Yisrael, Kuma Be'ezrat Yisrael, etc., etc. Baruch Ata Hashem, Gaal Yisrael, the one who redeemed. Gaal Yisrael means redeemer of Israel. Geula means redemption. And then Tfilah refers to the Shemona Esrei. So, Rabbi Yochanan says that one who attaches their Shemona Esrei to the bracha of redemption, to Gaal Yisrael, certainly merits the world to come. It's a very kind of strange statement. That's going to be our main topic today. Why does one who does this merit the world to come? But let's finish reading the Gemara first, because that's really the subject of debate. That's Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, I'm now on the fourth line after where I marked. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi Omer, Tfilot ba'emtza tiknum. This is what we referred to several months ago. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi holds that at Ma'ariv, Shema comes after Shemona Esrei. Because the tfilot, the Amidah that you say, should come between the two Shemas of the day. So the morning would look like, the day would look like this. Shema Shemona Esrei at Shacharit, then Mincha is just Shemona Esrei, and then Ma'ariv would be Shemona Esrei followed by Shema. Tfilot ba'emtza, the prayers, the Amidah, the three Amidot should go in the middle. That's Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi's position. That necessarily would mean that one is not so meich geula l'tfilah at Ma'ariv, because the bracha of Ga'al Yisrael, that blessing of redemption, that bracha of Ga'al Yisrael is one of the Birkos Kriyas Shema. It's one of the brachos that surrounds the Shema. And so, if it surrounds the Shema, in Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi's world, that goes after Shemona Esrei. That goes after the Amidah at Ma'ariv. Okay? So let's continue. So that's Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi's thing. The Gemara is now going to ask, what do they disagree about? How does each one derive his opinion? Why does Rabbi Yochanan hold that one should attach redemption to prayer, both at Ma'ariv and at Shacharit? But Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi holds that the tefillot should be in the middle and that Shema should be later at Ma'ariv. So the Gemara suggests two pieces of reasoning. We're now where the lines get wide. Right in the middle of the page. Ibait eima kra, vibait eima svara. The Gemara is going to present two possible reasons for their opinions. One is going to be a textual reason, and one is going to be a logical reason. The Gemara likes to do this. When it can come up with two reasons, you know, in Talmud, you can always have either, you can either present evidence from reasoning, or you can present evidence from a textual citation. That's like in life. If you have an argument, you can either prove your point through some text that you find, or through logic. So if the Gemara can do both, it strengthens the argument. It makes it a better argument if it's both textual and logical. So here the Gemara presents two possibilities. The first one is the logical possibility. Bais ema svara. What's the logical possibility? The Rabbi Yochanan savar geula meursa nami havi ela geula malyasa lohavia ela tzafra. For Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi savar kevan de lohavia ela mitzafra lohavia geula malyasa. What redemption are we talking about? The bracha of Ga'al Yisrael. Which redemption is it? What is the whole paragraph that precedes the bracha of Ga'al Yisrael? What is it about in Shacharit? Anybody remember from the Siddur? It's all about God's, about our exodus from Egypt, Yetziat Mitzrayim. Okay? When did the exodus happen? At night or in the day? It started at night, it finished in the day. So the Gemara says, here's the reasoning. Rabbi Yochanan holds that because it started at night, then that counts as the geula as well as redemption. And so one must attach redemption to prayer at Ma'ariv as well, at Ma'ariv. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi holds that sure, the geula, the redemption began at night, but it never finished until the day. And so the only redemption, the time that we really have to remember the redemption is during the day, namely at Shacharis, in the morning prayers. And therefore, at Shacharis, one must be so meich ge'ulah letfilah. You have to attach redemption to prayer at Shacharis. But at Maariv, since the ge'ulah never really finished at Maariv, it only started at Maariv. It's not full ge'ulah. It wasn't full redemption at night. So at night, it's not so important to connect ge'ulah to tefillah. And therefore, that's the reasoning that they give. Okay. V'bayis e'makra. Now we're on the third wide line towards the, just after the middle of the line. V'bayis e'makra. The following is the difference from a pasuk, from a verse, meaning how they interpret a specific verse. Ushneya mikra echad darshu. And they both, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan, both darshan, they both learned the halacha from the same verse. Namely, d'chsiv b'shochbecha uvkumecha. Right? The Shema must be read, b'shochbecha uvkumecha. When you go to sleep, and when you wake up. But each rabbi interpreted that verse in a different manner. Rabbi Yochanan savar, Mekish Shchiva Lakima. Rabbi Yochanan understood the pasuk to mean that whatever applies to waking up also applies to lying down. Meaning Beshachbecha uvkumecha means that both the Shachbecha, the lying down, and the Kumecha have the same rules. Ma kima kriyat shma ve'achar kach tefila. Af shkiva nami kriyat shma ve'achar kach tefila. Just as in the morning, one first says Shema, and then davens, and then says Shmona Esre, so too at night, one first says Shema, and then prays the Amida. But Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi understood that the pasuk teaches something different. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi savar, mekish shkiva lekima, ma kima. Kriyat Shema Samoch Lamitaso. Af Shkiva Nami Kriyat Shema Samoch Lamitaso. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, yeah, all the rules that apply to waking up, to the morning prayer, also apply to the nighttime prayer. Just like in the morning prayer, Shema comes closer to when you got out of bed, so too at night, Shema should be closer to when you go to bed. So, in Maariv, you should reverse the order of Kriyat Shema and the Amidah, so that the Shema is closer to when you go to bed. Okay? So, to sum up the Gemara, we saw that the Gemara presented a debate between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yochanan held that no matter what, one ought to connect the blessing of Gaal Yisrael, Geula, redemption, to the prayer of the Amida, both in the morning and at night. Perhaps it's because Rabbi Yochanan holds that the redemption of nighttime, the fact that the redemption of the Exodus from Egypt began at night, is significant. And so we have to give importance, we have to give chashivut to that redemption at night in addition to the morning. Or perhaps it's because all the rules that apply in the morning should also apply at night, namely, Shema precedes Shemona Esrei in the morning, so Shema should precede Shemona Esrei at night. That's Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says that in the morning, Shema goes before the Amida, but at night, Shema comes after the Amida. Perhaps it's because he holds that the full redemption from Egypt didn't take place until the daytime. And so, there should be other considerations besides the redemption as to the order of Ma'ariv. Or, it's because he holds that Shema should always be closest to the bed, to either getting out of bed in the morning or going to bed at night. This sugya is basically going to take us 2 or 3 weeks to get through. Today, we're going to look at a few different Rishonim, a few opinions, as to Rabbi Yochanan's cryptic statement, Ezeu ben olam haba. I mean, who certainly deserves the world to come? You might have thought someone who's a good person, who gives a lot of tzedakah, who follows, you know, the Torah, who devotes himself to God. Rabbi Yochanan says it's one who always attaches Geula to Tefillah, who always says Shema before he says Shmona Esrei. A very strange statement. And in the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at exceptions. I mean, there are obvious exceptions to us. We have at Shachar, at Ma'ariv, we have Kaddish, and the Bracha of Hashkivenu between, right? We say Ga'al Yisrael, and then there's a whole other Bracha, Hashkivenu, and Baruch Hashem Le'olam, Amen Ve'amen. There's a whole bunch of things that happen between Ga'al Yisrael and Shmona Esrei. So the next week or two, we'll look at those exceptions. Today, we're just going to look at this cryptic statement of Rabbi Yochanan. Why does one deserve Olam Haba, the world to come, just for having connected Ga'al Yisrael and Shmona Esrei? So, I think the most obvious answer is the one given by the Ritva. Take a look on page 2. On page 2, it's double-sided. So I put a little bracket by the Ritva's explanation on the left-hand side. V'yesh mefarshim, yud mem. Yesh mefarshim, there are those who say, delo shehiyeh ben ha'olam haba b'davar zeh bilvad. It's not that this thing alone gets one merit, you know, gets one the merit to be in the world to come. Ela hachikama, rather, Ezehu ben olam haba, this is what it really meant to say. Who deserves the world to come? Kol hazahir bedivrei chachamim, ledakdek bahen ulekayaman. One who follows all of the mitzvot and the rabbinic decrees. Meaning, this is just one rabbinic decree. It's one rabbinic law. So one who follows this, not this alone, but rather this and all of the other rabbinic laws also. Sha'af b'zohu zahir, l'smoch geulala tefila afilu balayla. That one who follows all the rabbis' rules, even this one. Something that seems so small and minor. Like attaching Ga'al Yisrael and Tefila. It's kind of interesting. They didn't have Sidurim back then. People, it seems, you know, from the Gemara, they just kind of did davening. So people knew the Amidah, they knew the Shema and the Brachot, and so they knew that in the evening they had to say the Shema and the Brachot, and they had to say the Amidah. So, you know, you had to be careful to say them in the right order. It was something to keep on your mind. Say them in the right order. Nowadays, it doesn't seem like such a stretch to say them in the right order. That's the order in which they're printed in our Siddur. So that's the order in which we say them. But presumably in those days, it wasn't so simple. People said what they said. Okay. We're going to look at two more explanations. One is that of Rashi back on page 1. On the left-hand side. We're going to skip the beginning part just because we're running short on time and our next source is a little bit longer. So if you look in the middle, it's really right in the middle. It's the line in Rashi that's parallel to the last underlined line in the middle of the Gemara where it says, Bevrachos Yerushalmi. You see where it says, Bevrachos Yerushalmi? The Gemara in the Yerushalmi says, Mi she'eino somech yulal tefila lemahu domeh. The Rashi says that the reason why you deserve the world to come for doing this comes from the Gemara, the Palestinian Talmud, the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi has a parable. One who does not connect the blessing of redemption to their Amida, what is that person like? Lamam domeh. La'ohavo shel melech. To one who loves the king. He comes and he knocks on the door of the king. Yatzaha melech. When the king comes out, umatzaho sheflig, and he sees that this person has left. Afu maflig. So too he leaves. Meaning it's like you knock on the door of the king. That's like the bracha of Geula, of Ga'al Yisrael, right? That's like knocking on the door of the king. And then as soon as the king opens the door, you leave. So if you praise God through the redemption and thank him for the redemption, it's almost like you're bringing God closer to you. And then if you don't say the Amidah right after that, it's like you left. It's like you ran away once God came to you. Ella, yeah, dam mekarev l'kadosh baruch hu, I love. Umeratsehu betishpachotu klusin shel yetziat mitzrayim. So what should one do? The proper thing for one to do, if they're going to pray, is to bring God closer to them by thanking God and praising Him for Yetziat Mitzrayim. I mean, Micha Mocha Ba'ilim Hashem. Who is like you among the gods of God? Right? That's the bracha of Gal Yisrael. The last thing we say before the Amidah is, who is like you, God? Tzur Yisrael, the rock of Israel, right? We praise God tremendously. And only then, Vehu mitkarev elav, and then God comes closer to us. Hu ve'odo karov elav, and then once God is close to us, yeshlo litvot rachav. That's when we should make our requests from God, which is what the Amidah is all about. It's petitions to God. So that's what the relationship between Gaali, Srela, and the Amidah, according to Rashi, is that Gaali, Srela, that bracha of redemption, represents our praising God and thanking God before we then go and petition Him for things for our lives, the things that we need. According to Rashi, I would say that Gaal Yisrael represents an introduction to the Amidah, right? And if you don't do that, it's almost like asking God, it's like asking someone for things before you even establish a relationship with them.
And if you want to ask, right, the first three brachot we say, we're praising Hashem.
That's true.
And then the other 16 were saying, I need a prayer. We need to repel Yerushalayim, get rid of the heretics, stuff like that.
That's true.
We're basically praising Hashem first, and then we're asking for our own prayers.
That's absolutely right.
And for all B'nai Israel, actually.
That's right. That's absolutely right. So I guess what Rashi is saying,
we're basically going to the king, like you said.
Right. So I think that what Rashi is saying is that Gaal Yisrael represents an extension of those first three brachot of the Shemona Esrei. Because the first three brachot of the Shemona Esrei are indeed praises of God. And so Gaal Yisrael represents an introduction to that. An introduction to the introduction. Maybe a prologue, you know. If the first three brachot of the Amidah are an introduction, then the whole bracha of Gaal Yisrael is a prologue.
Appreciate what you're doing when you say Gaal Yisrael. You're true that you also do that. But the point here is not whether you have it or not. The point is that if you have it in another part of the davening, and you don't do anything, you don't take it to the next step, and you don't appreciate the reality that happens when you actually say Gaal Yisrael.
That's right. So what Rabbi Block is suggesting, which I think makes a lot of sense in the parable that Rashi presents from the Yerushalmi, is actually exactly what Rabbeinu Yonah says, and that's on page 3. Rabbeinu Yonah says that the Amidah represents the actualization of what we establish by saying Gaal Yisrael. By saying the redemption, we establish something, and the Amidah represents its actualization. I put an arrow at the bottom right on the Rabbeinu Yonah. The Rabbeinu Yonah is this commentary that surrounds on both sides the middle portion, which looks like it's the Gemara. Here it's the Rif. The Rif is the middle portion, and then on both sides we have Rabbeinu Yonah. On the right-hand side at the bottom, where I underlined, first he quotes the Gemara. Izehu ben olam haba, zeh somech geulah shel arvit letfilah shel arvit. Who deserves the world to come? One who says the Amidah immediately after mentioning the redemption in Ma'ariv at night. Yesh l'hakshot. I have a problem with this, that students of Rabbeinu Yonah say on the left-hand side at the top. V'chi mipnei shesomech geulah letfilah. Yesh lo schar kol kach shiyeh ben olam haba. Because someone says the Amidah immediately after saying Gaal Yisrael, they suddenly have so much merit, so much schar, that they absolutely deserve the world to come? That's our question. Ve'omer Mori Harav, my teacher Rabbeinu Yonah said, the commentary of Rabbeinu Yonah comes from notes taken from Rabbeinu Yonah's students. Rabbeinu Yonah of Gerona was a Sephardic Rishon. Spanish Rishon, and his students took notes, and this is the printing of his students' notes. So they quote their teacher, Mori Harav. Shatam shezochel eschar gadol kaze. The reason you deserve such merit. Mepnei shehakadosh baruch hu, kishege'alanu vehotzianu mimitzrayim, haya lehayotanu lola avadim. When God redeemed us from Egypt, the whole point was that we should become servants to God. That was the whole point of the redemption. That's the famous, you know, Dvar Torah as to why is Shavuot right after Pesach and we count that, right? That Pesach is the redemption, is the exodus from Egypt, but it only mattered so we could receive the Torah on Shavuot. It's kind of the opposite of Dayenu, right? If God had let us out of Egypt, it would have been enough, but, you know, okay. Dayenu is a wonderful song because each one of them, you can say, really? Would that really have been enough? I don't know. Dayenu, I mean, would that really have been enough? Okay. When he took us out of Egypt, the whole point was to become servants. As the pasuk says, they are my servants who I took them out of Egypt. Uvirkat Ga'al Yisrael, we're on the first narrow line. Uvirkat Ga'al Yisrael, in the bracha of redemption, Mazkir Baha Chesed, Sha'asai Manu Habore. In that bracha of Ga'al Yisrael, we remember the Chesed, the great acts that God did for us, the act of kindness that God did for us when He redeemed us and when He took us out of Egypt. V'atfilah hi avodah. And prayer is the actual service of God. K'dam rinan v'avadetem et Hashem Elokeichem, zohi tfilah. The Gemara says that serving God is prayer. At least nowadays when you don't have the sacrifices anymore, serving God is prayer. When we mention the Exodus from Egypt and immediately pray, shows that just as a slave, when a master purchases a slave, the slave must immediately do the master's work. So too, when we mention the Exodus from Egypt, which is like God acquiring us, we must immediately do the mitzvot, and namely, that's praying. Kenu makira tova v'agula shigalo to abore, v'shu avado v'ovedo to, v'kivan shemakir shu avdo, v'mpnei shigalo v'oseret sono mitzvotav, nimtza shebaavur ze, zochel chayei olam haba. By showing that we understand that because God redeemed us, that commands us immediately to do God's work, to serve God. And we do that by saying, Baruch Atah Hashem, Ga'al Yisrael, and immediately going into the Amidah. That shows that we understand that we are commanded by God. According to Rabbeinu Yonah's first explanation, the whole point of connecting Ga'al Yisrael to the Amidah is to show that we understand that we are commanded by God. Because first we say Ga'al Yisrael, and that shows that we intellectually appreciate that God redeemed us from Egypt. We say, you know, Mi Chamocha Ba'Elim Hashem, and so on and so forth. But then, you know, when you're in a writing workshop, they always tell you, you have to show, you don't just tell, right? You show, don't tell. I'm sure Stuart knows, he writes columns regularly. So, you know, it's always better to illustrate and to show something than to just say it. So in Ga'al Yisrael, we say, we understand God redeemed us from Egypt, and we understand that that we are his servants. But by immediately, and without any pause, go into the Amidah, we show we put our money where our mouth is. Right? We believe that God redeemed us, and immediately we go straight into prayer and the service of God, because we are commanded to do so. Okay. We're going to stop here for today. But we will continue, please God. Rabbeinu Yonah has another explanation, which is a little bit different. And then, so next week, please God, we will look at this other explanation, and we will also look at some exceptions as to where one does break Yulah and Tefillah.